Our scripture reading today is taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 44. And our Lord says, "Everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. We are soon approaching the 10th anniversary of 9/11. I'm sure there will be many things in the media about that. Just a reminder to the faculty who are here. The freshmen who enter this year had just come off, about 3.5 months earlier, had just come out of second grade. That kind of puts it in perspective. An insurance report came out soon after that, a number of months later, and it basically said this, that if you took all of the money that had to be paid out in insurance claims for those buildings, the content of those buildings, as well as the life insurance policies of all of those who died on 9/11, if you could take that one large amount of money, it would fall at number 15 in the scale of world wealth. Now, what that means is there are only in nations. There will be only 14 countries in the world that would have more wealth in them than embodied in those two buildings. Get your head around that. That's just amazing. To think of the riches that we have here in this land and in this nation. And we get so used to living so comfortably and so nice and having so much that we just take it for granted. And we still complain about the people who have more than we do. But just think of the kind of wealth that we get to live in constantly. It's one of the dangers of being blessed with that, is you get so accustomed to it and you forget about how special it is. You ever think about, why is it that God decided that I got to live now? Why did God decide that I, with my little life, in all of the vast spread of world history, that I get to live now and right here in this country and during the times that are going on right now? Just in terms of your education, why has God decided that I get to be educated the way that I am and will be? It probably puts you in the top 15% of the world's population in terms of how much education you can get. Probably if you were to stretch it out and do the study over all of time and all of humanity, you'd be in the top 5, maybe 3 or 4% of world history as far as the blessing of education. Think of what we have access to now, the vast amount of knowledge that we can tap into because of connections with the internet and everything else. It's just absolutely astounding. Generations before us would just be blown away. Even your great-grandparents' generation would be just blown away to think of what you can get just on your cell phone today. It's absolutely amazing. Why didn't God decide that I should have lived instead during the Dark Ages? Why didn't he decide that I should have lived in a time when the bubonic plague was wiping out one-third of the population of Europe? And that people had a lifespan of only about 27 or 28 years? Why has God decided that I get to live in a time in this world's history and in our country, which is so far pretty relatively safe? Yeah, we've had a few attacks, but it's not a time of war. While other people, maybe your same age, are fighting for freedom, the freedom that we take for granted, why has God decided that I get to enjoy that and I get to live during that time? I was 16 years old when the war in Vietnam came to an end, and I was just at the point of having to think about registering for the draft, and all of a sudden it came to an end. And I remembered thinking to myself, why did God let that happen to me that way in my life? And here I am years later, have really never had to go to war. Why has God decided to give you the very specific gifts and talents and abilities and skills that you possess in so many different ways. It's just amazing on this campus. Why does God let us have so much food that when we go into the cafeteria, we have to look around and think about what we really want? And we go to Olive Garden, it takes us 10 minutes to pick something off the menu. When half the world's population is holding out a bowl in a food line waiting for a pile of mush. So why do we get all of this? What is it about you or me that makes us so special that God decided we would get to live now and that we'd get to have all of this? Was there something unique about you or me? Were we kind of special people? Were we good? Were we better than other people? Was there something about us that made God think, you know, they deserve that? Well, here's my answer to that. No, and I don't have a clue why God let me live now. But I do know this. We have all of this purely out of his fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in us. But this is where you are in life. This is who you are. This is what your life is. This is where God has decided to place you in time and in world history. It's not by chance. God doesn't do things haphazardly. He does have a reason for it. He does have a purpose for it. Years ago, a man who was coaching girls' basketball, a little girls' basketball team, tells a story about how he had a girl on that team who was in about sixth grade, and she was just amazingly talented athletically. And she could hit shots from way further out than anybody else. And he'd done an exercise during a practice one day where all the girls had to go and shoot from certain spots on the floor, and she did it just in a heartbeat and was suddenly sitting off on the side just relaxing. And so he came over to her and he said, okay, now you have to take a giant step back and do it again. So she did, and she still beat everybody. All these other girls were struggling. And he said, okay, now you got to take two giant steps back and do it again. And she still beat everybody. And he pulled her aside after practice and he said to her, you know, God has blessed you with some amazing gifts, but don't just take them for granted. Don't just rest on your laurels. You need to keep growing and increasing with the gifts that he has given you. The demand of the master will be in proportion to the level of gifts he has doled out to his servants. Along with great endowments come great responsibilities. Now, this is all true in the temporal realm. Let's also address the spiritual realm. Think how amazing it is that we have the privilege to hear the Word of God in complete freedom in our country. I had a student in a religion class a few years ago who had a grandfather executed for being a choir director in his church over in Ukraine. And to have the beautiful facilities like this and other churches around us and institutions of higher learning where we can go and study the Word of God and where we have access to that and the freedom to do this all at our disposal, an opportunity to continue to increase in the knowledge of our Savior and what He's done for us. This summer, in June, we had a worship service right here in this sanctuary, and it was a little more full than this even. And it was people from about 20-plus countries around the world, many of them in tiny little mission fields. And I was sitting right up here doing the liturgy. I was sitting next to a pastor from Japan. And I remember when the singing started in this beautiful sanctuary, he just looked at me like, wow. He'd never heard anything like that. Another pastor that did readings that day was from Portugal, and he told me he had never been in a worship service with more than 25 people in his country. Just think of how we are blessed over here, just in the spiritual realm. How amazing it is that not only do we get to live in this country of all this wealth, but in our spiritual lives, God has chosen to reach down into humanity and pluck you through the waters of baptism and through the gift of His Word, and to give you a knowledge of your sin and to give you the understanding that you could never get to heaven by yourself because your life is full of nothing but sin, just like mine is. And yet through faith in His Son who went to the cross to atone for all of your sins and pay for them, by faith in Him you have the sure promise that you're going to get to go to heaven someday and live there forever in all of that eternal wealth. Just think how wonderful and amazing that is. When it comes to spiritual blessings, you and I live in a mansion. We are filthy rich in God's grace. And sometimes I don't realize that or remember that enough until I meet somebody who's brand new in this faith and see how excited they are about it. St. John says it this way, "Oh, what manner of love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called sons of God. So let us not squander this wealth that we have been given." Our Lord says, "Everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." May our gracious Lord, who has generously given us all of this, stir up our hearts with his gospel to love him and to serve him in our fellow man. Amen. Please rise for the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.